Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here again for another week of Turning Towards Life. We made it. This is not at the time that we normally do this. Travel delays and all kinds of things have got in the way, but we've been, Lizzie, so committed to this weekly practice. It's a wonderful thing that we can find a way by hook or by crook, as we say. So welcome to you, Lizzie. I'm really glad you could make it, and welcome to everyone else, whether you're on our podcast or live with us in our Facebook group or on our turningtowards.life website. Or maybe you're joining us because you're a participant in a Third Space program and you found your way to here. Welcome all of you. We're really glad to have you with us. And as usual, we have a source which begins our conversation this week, chosen by you, Lizzie, and thank you for being someone who brings such excellent sources. I am really looking forward to this conversation.
Thank you, Justin. And thank you, everybody, for being here as usual. And apologies for the late broadcast of the day. As Justin says, we are doing this from the middle of our ordinary lives, just like your life, filled with various kerfuffles. And sometimes the things that happen don't allow us to do the normal timing, which happened this time. And I just want to appreciate all the different ways people are listening, Justin, and from the different places as well. And this last couple of weeks, we've had a kind of influx of people that are different than the community has been before. So I'm feeling really excited about that, and that the places that we're reaching. You know, you often say, Justin, please tell people about this. And that can happen in all kinds of ways, of people tagging each other, people talking about it, people telling each other, and sending each other links, things like that. And I feel like there's just a new swell of that, and I'm really appreciating that happening. It's very cool. And also, we mentioned a few weeks ago, Justin, our wish to begin something where we can welcome people in our Turning Towards Life community into a more live space with us. And we know that that's bubbling away in the background. So if you're listening in September 2023, something's coming in that's in the pipeline, and there'll be different opportunities than just listening to us on a Sunday morning, or per episode on a podcast or whatever. So that's really exciting. And this source that I've chosen this week is by Courtney Pepinell, who is new to me. And so I want to say hello to Courtney if you ever get to listen to this, and thank you for your extraordinary writing. If you're watching on the video, I'm holding up Courtney's book, which I just got in the post actually today, called Time Will Tell. And there's a beautiful, beautiful piece of artwork on the front. And it's just a very beautiful, beautifully designed book with very wonderful passages and poems inside of it that I can tell I'm going to relish. So thank you, Courtney. And we're going to read this untitled piece of her writing, which comes from this particular book called Time Will Tell, and see where we find ourselves. So here we go. This is a piece of Courtney Pepinell's book called Time Will Tell, and it goes like this. So I wrapped myself tightly in a silk cocoon, and I told myself that the only way I was going to survive was if I slowed down my healing, and I gently reasoned with all my being. Because to reason with yourself is to reflect, and to reflect must always start with rest.
Thank you, Lizzie. So, I wrapped myself tightly in a silk cocoon, and I told myself that the only way I was going to survive was if I slowed down my healing, and I gently reasoned with all my being. Because to reason with yourself is to reflect, and to reflect must always start with rest.
Thank you, Justin. So, when I read this the first time, I was so struck by, and I'm still struck by, this link between rest and reflection. And I don't know, maybe it's because I'm least good at resting or something in this particular way. I'm quite good at lying down and hanging around and doing nothing. But this quality of rest and what kind of capacity for reflection it brings, and how necessary rest is in order to be able to reflect, feels like an extraordinary revelation of, oh yes, like something has to pause and open in order for me to see something differently, in order for me to entertain the actual truth of reality of something. Like, there's so many ways that I'm in denial about things, or don't really know things, even though I think I do. Like, oh, I'm really not a late person, but the data actually tells me that I'm late quite a lot of the time. You know, so there's a kind of ways that I would really do well to question myself, but there are mechanisms, there are parts that protect me from that kind of honesty. And so when I'm invited into this notion of resting, in order for that honest reflection to happen, that resting feels to me like, it may, maybe it is physical rest in some way, but it feels like a resting of my patterns, like the capacity to suspend the things that normally happen so that I can actually see them. And I can't help but link this rest to relationship as well. Like, when you're here and I tell you something about me in my life, there's a quality of rest that arrives in me that allows me to see the thing I'm saying. And I'm not sure what order it happens in either. Like, am I seeing it as I'm telling you, or as I tell you, am I then seeing it? But there's something in the connection that feels restful of my patterns to me, because I'm speaking it out loud and I'm sharing it with someone safe and purposefully there, so that I can actually see and reflect. And of course, before reflection happens, nothing's really possible anyway. Like, unless I can see something and I can work with it and I can hold it in my hands, I can't work with it. And so this restfulness, this capacity to reflect, this willingness, this intention to reflect, feels completely crucial for my whole unfolding and seeing clearly.
I love the way you're talking about this. Lizzie, I had first read these words by Courtney Pepinell as about a maybe a different kind of rest, and maybe we'll come back to that. But I'm very taken by this, by what I understood you saying as a way in which, if we're going to work with and see our own patterns, which whatever it is, how necessary it is to somehow find a way to stand on the outside of the pattern enough that we can see it. It's really difficult when we're in the midst of something to see the something that we're right in the middle of. And I love the word rest for it, because there are all kinds of very harsh words that we might use for getting out of our own patterns.
Mm.
You know, there can be an incredible unkindness, as if to be a patterned kind of being, there's something wrong with that, and somehow we humans ought to be unpatterned and not have familiar habits. And I feel a great kind of respect for the kind of the particularity of each of us, that we do develop ways, that there are Lizzie ways and there are Justin ways, and it's part of what gives us our very delicious particularity, so that we're not all somehow indistinguishable for one another, but there really is a very real busyness that comes, that's apparent in you, which is such a gift to someone who's me, who's not that. So our multiplicity, I think, really matters. And there's something necessarily gentle about resting from, finding a way to rest enough from our patterns that we can see them and reflect on them and then take care of them and cultivate those that we wish to cultivate and maybe find a way to soften or lessen or let go of those which are not serving us. And we could push on one another's faces into them. We could criticize ourselves. We could take up a stance that I've worked with enough people who, with good intention, have tried to do a sort of, let me tell you how terrible you are and how terrible it is to be a human. We all ought to wake up to the terribleness of it. There's a sort of a shock factor in those, but there's also a sort of I don't know, there can be a sort of fake wisdom that we can have, which is I'm going to tell you all the things about you that you don't know, Lizzie, and then you're going to have to be ashamed and take on the. So this is something really different. This is what would it take to be able to slow ourselves down enough and find something that Courtney says in here that was really touched me about. If we don't rush our healing and we're gentle and we can bring to this reasoning, Courtney says here, and I gently reasoned with all my being. And I'm taking this to mean you can reason with, as in the partner in the reasoning is all my being, or you can reason bringing all of my. Bringing all of myself to this effort, this possibility of really seeing, really looking as best as I can. This has been very on my mind this week. This source lands very beautifully because, as you know, Lizzie, I've been having some time off, some quiet time over the last few weeks, and as I'm beginning to move towards a sort of engagement with the world. I've been watching a pattern in me of holding back, holding something of myself in reserve. Like if I hold part of me back, somehow I'll keep that part safe and it won't get hurt and I'll be okay. And I've been feeling it increasingly over recent months how familiar that pattern has become and also how tired I am of it. I'm looking at how transient, how brief our lives are, and there are other parts of me that are starting to say, I don't want to hold anything back. I don't want to wait. I don't want to keep part of me safe. I do, but I also want to bring it and risk it. And I realize that in reading Courtney and in listening to you, I've really been having to do exactly this, which is in order to really look at something that's very tender, the parts of me that hold parts of me back are tender parts. They're frightened parts. They're worried about something happening if I really let myself be available and don't hold parts of me in reserve, that they are not amenable to being bullied or forced. These parts of me need to know that they are really, really safe. So I have been wrapping myself tightly in a silk cocoon, much as Courtney says. And so anyway, why am I saying all of this? Well, partly it's a way of not holding back so much, but it's also partly a way of reflecting, I think, on how much maybe the mistake that we can make, and maybe so many of us have been taught this, is that in order to change anything that would be life-giving, it has to be a sort of act of self-criticism or some kind of self or other harshness. And I'm very, very struck by the gentleness that it takes to change ourselves. And I'm very struck also that the gentleness makes truthfulness possible, not the other way around. And like you said, being with one another. So it helps me enormously that I can say this to you and here you are receiving me, and you're not rushing in to do anything apart from being gentle with me whilst I find out about myself in this way. And for this reason, I think we need we need one another too. And your addition to Courtney's poem is very welcome. There's something about to do this is really benefited by being with one another.
I'm realizing, Justin, that in some way between humans, there seems to me to be like where there's safety between us, it doesn't matter who's resting. It's just that there is rest in the system enables reflection. So, as in, you don't have to be the person resting. You could borrow my restfulness for a little while we're talking, and that will have the same gift in it. So, being with one another and consciously, you said the word cultivation, like cultivating the restfulness in ourselves, and knowing that that's a profound service to whoever's sitting nearby who wants to share or talk. How safe being in the presence of a rested one is. Because I can feel when you were talking about the parts that are frightened and they won't be bullied and they won't be dragged forth, they need to feel safe. That kind of safety doesn't feel separate right now in this moment to me from a restedness. So when I'm with someone who's so if you're trying to fix me and change me, that's not my body's relationship to restedness in you feels like it's woken up in that moment. It's like, oh, you're not rested, you're not restored in some way in this relationship that I could rely on your restoration for my own self in a part of me that I don't feel restored in. So the part of me that's frightened, the part of me that's worried about my self-image, the part of me that's got there, where there's a lot at stake. When that part comes into contact with you as a restedness, and many other parts of me might be really rested, but this part's not rested. But when I come into contact with your restedness, that feels like it's profoundly linked to safety. Like when I think of rest, there's no attachment to how you should be. There is no bullying. There's no dragging you to the water so you'll drink, even though that's not possible anyway. So the restedness feels like an attribute of safety to me in the conversation that we're having. And I've never really made that link explicitly until now. But I do know that the restedness in me is always in affordance for safety. Now I'm in this restedness, reflecting on the conversations I have in the world. When my restedness comes forth in response to someone with me, that affords the kind of safety and the kind of allowing and welcome that's really necessary for so much of us to come forth when it's been hiding in a box for so many years or hedging about and, as you say, being held back somehow. So I'm really appreciating this new relationship that Courtney is giving me with the word rest and how that's being linked really, really clearly with healing and safety.
When I'm with you, Lizzie, and you're inhabiting this way of restfulness in yourself, the vastness, the of you, the that of you that can be present with me, that isn't in a hurry to fix me up or sort me out or correct me or push me into something, or a couple of things happen. So one is that I can feel the many desperate parts of me that are in a hurry for things to happen, or definitely don't want things to happen. And one of the things that your restedness, and I love the, I never thought about it before, the connection between rest and restoration that you've just made. Never even occurred to me that those words might be intimately related to one another. the desperate parts of me start to borrow that restedness in you, which I might not yet be able to find so easily in myself. And they have a chance to breathe, and then I have a chance to breathe around them and to start to see them and be in relationship with them in a new way. So, of course, we've got in the background of our conversation just being humans, and we've also got in the background the kind of work that we do in coaching too. And I'm thinking about, with some joy, about someone that I've been working with who, because like you, I make a point of cultivating and finding when I'm working with someone in the way that we work with people, I'm making a point of finding that rested place in me so I can be exactly the way that you're talking about. And she said to me, when I first met you, she said, I was so irritated, she said, because I wanted to move so fast and everything was going so slowly. And then she said, but now I'm really grateful, because the desperate movement of speed that was hoping for more and more of the same was part of the pattern that could not, was hard to shift unless, to quote Courtney, unless we slowed down together and gently reasoned with all of our being. And I know that this is one of the dynamics, is that the desperate parts in me don't always immediately go, oh, thank goodness Lizzie's here and is sharing with me her way of spaciousness and restfulness, so that we can be, sometimes for a while they feel more desperate. But what I know is that is really just a kind of unfamiliarity, and that those parts of me that are desperate, if we can stay with them long enough, begin to let go and rest themselves enough that something can happen. Actually, I can't imagine it happening any other way. If you were to be really pokey with me or really pushy with me or something, I think everything in me would just get, you know, I might get to learn some things that were true, which would be helpful, but everything in me would probably get very activated. So I appreciate all of it. And I also, it was occurring to me when you were speaking that this restful something, I think, is underneath all of our efforts to do things which are important and get things done and get things finished and all of our panic and all of our, I think this simple being here is the ground on which all of our activity is based, and to occupy this place of rest somehow is going in on the underfloors of everything. I don't know if I'm saying this in the right way, but the ground upon which we stand together when we're willing to really let ourselves see is this. And it's so absent in our wider culture. It can be hard to get to, and it's why offering it to one another matters so much. Why it would be a mistake, I think, to read Courtney's words as if it was something we should do alone.
Yeah. I'm feeling really curious, Justin. At the very beginning, you said, oh, I came at this completely differently. Have we got to that place of the difference? And can you remember what that was? Because I feel really like, oh, I've clearly read this and taken us on a particular tangent. And I wonder, when you were reading it initially, if you had started in this conversation, where our path might have led.
Yeah, I really appreciate you asking me that. The place where I started, I mean, it leads to the same place, I think. But where I started with was with a book which I think is called Rest is an Act of Resistance. Which is a book that points to how our wider culture has stigmatized rest, proper rest, or packaged it up as a product. Like you can go to a yoga thing and you can rest there, or you could have a holiday if you have the means to do it. And but rest has become a product that you earn the right to by working very hard or having enough money or whatever it is. And that, as Courtney points out to us, that rest, proper rest, is a basic necessity for everyone. And how one of the things about this way of looking at it is that systems of oppression in our wider culture, very often one of the places they start is by using power in unhealthy ways to deny some people rest, the possibility of rest at all. So it affects some people more than others, depending upon all kinds of things. But I also think it really, really affects us, everyone. I don't mean us separate to that. I mean, just it affects everyone. The idea that rest is a luxury or something that you earn, when, as Courtney says, rest is what we deeply need in order to be whole. We cannot flourish if we're always in inner or outer activity, even though that's what we've been taught. So I that would have been my starting place, is to wonder about what it really is to rest, or to find, or to connect up with what you've been saying, to find that in us which is already restful, and give it a chance for it to take up its place.
Yeah. As you're talking, Justin, it gets me thinking about the systems that we live in and what kind of like what they are, what they're naturally tended towards. So as you're talking about genuine rest, I can feel in me the kind of restfulness that comes across me when I'm in community, when I'm in genuinely safe sharing spaces of humility and self-honesty and compassion and bringing ourselves fully to one another in all of our glory, whether that's a kind of brokenness or a kind of joy or a, but there's a consciousness of the way that we're interacting with one another in service of something much bigger. And that feels so, so restful to me. It feels relaxing. It feels freeing. It feels like a relief. And so I love this question of, what is rest? Because I know that that answer is not that's not an answer that I got born into, if you know what I mean. That's got made in my life. And the more culturally, I don't know what the word is, indoctrinated parts of me say that rest is having a bath and doing some meditation or and of course, yes, that could be true, and it probably is for many, many people, but I can just see that there are ways that things have been made into a product, like you were saying, that have had me think that that's where I should find it. And many times I don't, like just my own structures. So I guess what I want to say is that it feels really important that we define rest for ourselves. And on the quest for rest, it's knowing ourselves feels really, really important. Knowing what actually brings me rest and what I can honestly say is restful to me versus what I should find restful. Because plenty of things that I should have found restful over the years haven't been that for whatever reason. But I've carried on and carried on and carried on, and it hasn't felt restful at all. And maybe I was doing it for different reasons other than rest, of course. But when I'm really looking at what's restful, the whole feeling of togetherness and community feels like the biggest kind of exhale for me, because I think it shows me about the nature of connection and non-separateness more and more, the more I'm in those communities and those sharing spaces, where I don't feel so individual anymore. I feel like I'm part of something, like I belong, like I'm part of something bigger. The most beautiful kind of joyful rest and restoration comes over me. And that's not something I would have said for lots of years of my life until that experience happened. I was like, oh God, this is way more restful than trying to sort my life out with my legs crossed and my fingers positioned in a certain way. And of course, that also had its purpose, but I feel really lucky to have that experience of genuinely answering the question of what's restful to me, and for it to come as an answer that's not culturally normal, but which is true for me.
So much to say about all of that, Lizzie, and I'm very aware of our time.
Yeah.
But I think I want to respond just to the last bit that you said, that maybe the kind of reasoning that Courtney is inviting us into is also into a kind of reckoning with what rest and nourishment and flourishing really might be. And I think that this question is not separate from the ways in which we are eating up our planet by over-extracting and overproducing. Like, there's a way in which we humans have lost contact with, collectively, with what's genuine rest, as opposed to productized rest or someone else's advice rest, or just the rest that sort of fits into the system, that there's a kind of radical question about rest that's that might be, as you say, for example, discovering that it's in really surprising places. Maybe for many of us it's in community, and we don't have enough community because we haven't found a way to make space. And just to link it all back to where you began, one of the ways in which we might begin to answer these questions is to be brave enough to let ourselves rest enough that we can start to see the patterns that we're in, rather than trying to ask the question from the inside of the pattern, to reflect honestly and kindly and gently, but also really truthfully, about what it would be to start with rest, or to start with rest so that we can find out what rest and restoration really is.
Gosh, well, that's a very sweet and reflective place to end this conversation, Justin. I want to say thank you again to Courtney for leading us down this road, and for inviting this amazing inquiry. It's really quite something. And I think I held up this book just before, but this is the book. It's called Time Will Tell, which is where this little source came from. And Courtney Pepinell is the author. And I'm so looking forward to delving into this book more. And Justin, thank you for your openness and thank you for our diversity, in a way. Like, I think that's, I'm sure I've said it before, but some of the gift of this for me is, I think our systems are really different to one another. The way we leap off is different, and the thought we have initially is different, and then we're learning so much because of it. And I think that's the nature of diversity, is this increased kind of learning that can happen when we can listen, and when we can be that restful space of listening into one another's world. So thank you. Thank you, everybody, for your restfulness in taking the time to be here and listen with us. I'm really grateful. And we will be back here again next Sunday. And Justin will be bringing us, no doubt, another wonderfully brilliant and inspiring source.
Thanks, Lizzie. Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everyone.